It's a joy and honor to be with you guys here tonight, junior high. It is a blessing. If we haven't met yet, my name is Brett. I have the blessing of being able to serve in the youth ministry, being able to work in the youth ministry. If we haven't met you, if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you, I'm glad that you're here. I just want to say as a youth staff that we're glad that you guys are here tonight. I know sometimes it's not easy to come every Friday night, and so I'm encouraged and thankful that you guys all came tonight as you guys begin the start of the new year. By way of reminder, just for all of us here, of what we're doing in this moment, what this time is now is a time of preaching, okay? So this is a time of preaching. It's hearing of the Word of God. Have any of you guys been in the sixth grade crash course before? You guys have been in the sixth grade crash course before? Okay, in the sixth grade crash course, you might remember, there is a teaching on how to listen to a sermon, right? And in that teaching, what was said is this, is that of preaching is the unfolding of the meaning of the Word of God, and it feeds God's people for spiritual food that they need for life. All right? This is not merely a textbook that we're reading. It's not merely a history book. This is the Word of God. And so that's why we preach it and spend time teaching. And with that said, tonight we are embarking on a new teaching series. Now, there was a moment in history before your guys' time where people used these things called roadmaps. There were literal physical maps. This is before Apple Maps, before Google Maps. People would literally go to stores and buy physical maps for their road trips. The purpose was to get directions on where they are going. So to start off our sermon for tonight, I kind of want to give us the roadmap of where we're heading in the next couple months. Tonight, we're actually starting a new teaching series called Back to Basics. Back to Basics. And in this series, we are simply rehearsing and rehashing the fundamentals of Christianity. If you've ever had the opportunity to go to Disney's California Adventure Park before, has anybody been there before? If anybody's been to DCA, Disney's California Adventure Theme Park before, then you maybe have been to one of my favorite parts of the park, which is called the Animation Studio. Animation Studio. If you've never been before, it's a free class. And I say free after paying hundreds of dollars to get into the park. But it's a free class that you get to take where there's actually a live artist who teaches you how to draw Disney characters. And if you've ever done the class before, then you might remember that one of the first lessons that they teach you in this class is how to hold and use a pencil. If you've ever been in that class before, it sounds obvious, right? Five-year-olds know how to hold a pencil. All the Disney adults in the room know how to hold a pencil. Everybody knows how to hold a pencil, but still, the artist goes out of the way to explain the basics to people who already know the basics. Because it's fundamental, and in order to draw something difficult and complex, you must first begin with the basics. And I think that depicts well what we're going to do in these next few months in this teaching series. We're going back to the basics of Christianity as we move forward in this difficult and complex life. You know, when I was in middle school, I remember preschool to fifth grade, to me, were just fun times, right? But as I got older and as I got into middle school and years progressed, as time went on in each passing year, I realized life is difficult. Life is difficult, and sometimes you just don't know what to do. Maybe you resonate here tonight. How do I fit in with friends at school? How do I handle the stress of school? The hardships that I see in my parents, my family? Why is life so frustrating? What's even the point of life? Will things ever get better? And let me be the first to say that life is not easy. Being a junior higher is not easy. There are many things in life that feel difficult and complex, and in reality won't be fixed overnight. That is the reality of the world we live in, and so in light of this truth, we're going back to the basics. We're going back to the fundamentals of the faith. Any sport or skill teaches this, right? You learn the basics in order to advance forward. And in order to do that, we're going to look and ask the question, practically, what does it look like to live as a Christian? That's the question we're answering throughout this series. Practically, what does it look like to live as a Christian? What does it mean to both know God and live for God? How do the truths we as Christians believe actually transform the way that we live? To put it another way, does being a Christian actually make a difference in my life? Maybe you've asked that question before. Does being a Christian actually make a difference in my life? To answer this question, we're going to be looking at 8 different topics throughout this series. As a Christian, what does it look like to know God, love Scripture, cherish the cross, honor God in the everyday, love your friends, love your enemies, share the gospel, and suffer for Christ? And throughout this series, we're actually going to have the opportunity to hear from 8 different teachers on these topics. In Marvel movie terms, this is like assembling the Avengers of teachers. Keith is Nick Fury, he's assembling the team. I'm Hawkeye, just trying to be as accurate as possible. But really, I am excited for you all to hear the different teachers that we have in store for this season. Our prayer is that this series and season gives you a strong foundation for the future. Now, if you didn't know this, part of our Lighthouse official youth ministry statement, our mission statement, is to mature you to be lifelong disciples of Jesus and to equip you for a life of obedience and worship to Him. In other words, we don't want you to just follow Jesus today. We don't want you to just follow Jesus tomorrow or to the end of this school year. We want you to follow Jesus and love Him for the rest of your lives. We want to build a strong foundation, and so in order to do that, we must go back to the basics. With that said, let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our first topic. Father, we thank you for this blessing and opportunity it is to be able to hear the preaching of your word. God, help us to never see the Bible just as a mere textbook or history lesson, but the very words that we need from you for our life. So we thank you, Father, for giving us your word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to turn with me in it to John chapter 17. The Gospel of John chapter 17. The Gospel of John is in the New Testament. You can use the table of contents if you need to. It's in the second half of the Bible. John chapter 17. Chapter numbers are the big numbers. Verse numbers are the small ones. We're going to be in verse 3. John chapter 17, verse 3. And while you're turning there, I want to say again that we're kicking off our Back to the Basics teaching series. And really what we're doing tonight is starting with the basics of basics. The basics of basics in this series, not because it's simple, but because it's foundational. And that is to know God. Know God. If you have your message notes, you might see the title of tonight's sermon is 2 words, know God. I want to talk to you tonight about what it means to know God, which really, again, is the foundation of foundations for this series. Now, going back to our animation studio example, this topic for tonight is even more foundational than how to use your pencil. It's even more foundational than how to use and hold a pencil. No, comparatively, knowing God, it's the paper. It's the graphite in the pencil. Knowing God is the basis of basis. Without it, you can't even begin to do anything else. And in the same way, if you do not know God, the rest of the series, all the things that we learn after this, is pointless. In the same way, if you don't know God, there's no point in even beginning in this series. Knowing God is the most fundamental topic that we're going to cover throughout this series. This is the Jenga block that holds it all together. Take away knowing God, and the whole foundation of this series falls apart. How could you honor God in the everyday if you don't know God? Loving your enemies is impossible unless you know God. Suffering for Christ only makes sense if you know the Christ you are suffering for. All to say, our topic tonight of knowing God is the foundation of our Back to Basics series. And we'll say a lot on the topic tonight, but here's the most important thing I'm going to say, which is this. Knowing God means having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by repenting of sin and believing in Him. That's the key idea that's in your message notes. The one sentence, if you're taking away anything from this sermon, it's that. Knowing God means having a personal relationship with Him, with Jesus Christ, by repenting of sin and believing in Him. That is the gospel. That is what it means to know God. The question I want you to keep in your mind throughout this sermon is this. Do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Keep that thought in mind. Do I actually know God personally, or do I just know stuff about God? Do I know God like how I know my best friend, or do I know God like how I know a textbook? Have I truly turned away from my sin? Have I believed and known God for eternal life? Looking now at our theme verse for tonight, which is John chapter 17, verse 3. In this verse, we see Jesus praying to God the Father. And in his prayer, he reveals a stunning and amazing truth, the key to eternal life. Look at John chapter 17, verse 3. Jesus says this. He says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." If you have your Bible or your notes, underline that two-word phrase, know you. Know you. And note that Jesus doesn't say that eternal life is knowing about you. It's not knowing about God. But rather, eternal life is knowing you, God the Father. To have eternal life means to know God, and knowing God means having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And my hope for you and all of us tonight is that we not just leave with more information about God, but that you leave wanting to know him personally. And so with that aim in mind, I want us to point out three realities of knowing God. It's going to be in your notes. First, knowing God is possible because he reveals himself. Secondly, knowing God is personal because he sent us Jesus. And third, knowing God is powerful because Jesus is our treasure. First, beginning with the first point, knowing God is possible because he reveals himself. You see, before we get into knowing God personally, let's first establish the reality that knowing God is actually possible. Have you ever wrestled with that question? Does God really exist? Is he really real? And we're living in a time where the existence of God is often challenged. Now, maybe your school or your friends or your family members have even told you God doesn't exist. I remember being in high school studying with some classmates one time when one of them discovered that I was a Christian, and upon learning this information said to me, "Brett, you're so smart. How could you be a Christian?" To which he was wrong in two ways. First, I'm not that smart, but secondly, and most importantly, he thought that believing God exists is foolishness. He thought that's foolishness. Maybe some of your friends or family members believe that too. In my classmate's mind, believing that God exists is like believing that unicorns exist. And yet, I'm here to tell you this evening that this couldn't be further from the truth. To know that God exists is actually possible, and yet only possible because God reveals himself. And one of the ways that the Bible says God reveals himself is in creation, in nature. The Bible says in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, night to night the sky, it reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, their voice is not heard, and yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." In short, what Psalm 19 is saying is this: our sky, it cannot speak. If you look up at the sky and you say something to it, it's not going to speak back, and yet it shouts that there is a creator. If God were a painter, nature is his painting, revealing that there is a creator. If you ever need a simple and yet profound reminder that God exists, behold creation. Go touch grass, watch a sunset, and be astounded by the painter himself, God. The trees, the mountains, the ocean, all of it, the Bible says, are evidence that God is real. How so? Because creation implies a creator. If you're taking notes, I want you to write those four words down. Those are four key words. Creation implies a creator. Creation implies a creator. Imagine if we were all to fly to the moon, and there on the moon, we discovered that there was a Nike shoe. LeBron 23s maybe, basketball shoes. Would our conclusion be, option one, "Oh my gosh, it's a miracle. This shoe, it created itself out of nothing. Shoelaces, leather, and rubber all happened to work together and form this shoe." Option number one. Or option number two, would our conclusion be, well, this Nike shoe is clearly proof that someone must have been on the moon before us and put this shoe here? We all know the answer, right? We all undoubtedly would say option number two, right? The only logical conclusion of finding a Nike shoe on the moon is that there was a shoemaker who made this shoe and put it there before us. Why? Because creation implies a creator. And if something as simple as a shoe is rock solid evidence to us that there was a creator, how much more rock solid evidence of God is it of God when it comes to something as profoundly complex as a human being? In Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of the Bible, it says that not only did God create the heavens and the earth, but he also created human beings. In Psalm 100, verse 3, the psalmist says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." What greater evidence do you and I need for a creator than the heart beating in your chest? How crazy would it be to think that you and I came from nothing when everything and everyone in this world has a source and creator? The next time you're tempted to doubt God's existence, remember the Nike shoe on the moon. All things created, especially ourselves, are evidence of God the creator. And because of this, the Bible actually says that therefore, no excuses. You can't say, well, I didn't know God exists because nobody told me God exists. Because all of creation has been telling you he exists. In other words, the person on the far off remote island with no access to a Bible whatsoever is still without an excuse. The Bible says all of humanity in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 to 20 has no excuse. Paul says, "For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." In other words, knowing God is not only possible in creation, it's plain and evident in creation, all because God has chosen to reveal himself to us. In creation, God himself makes himself known generally. We can all know that God exists. And yet, God did not stop there. No, not only did God make himself known generally, but also specifically and personally in Jesus Christ. Though knowledge of God is possible through creation, knowledge of God at that point is not yet personal yet. In other words, you can see all of creation, affirm that there is a creator, know things about God, even read the Bible cover to cover, even memorize it, and yet still not know God. Why? Going back to our key idea, because knowing God means having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a repenting of sin and believing in him. And this leads us into our second reality, which is that knowing God is not only possible, but secondly, it's also personal. Knowing God is personal because he sent us Jesus. And we mentioned this at the beginning, but there is a difference between knowing stuff about God and knowing God personally. Knowing your best friend is different from knowing your textbooks. Let's put it another way, knowing God informationally is not the same as knowing him personally. About a month ago, we had our youth group game night. For those who were there in the beginning of this game night, we played a Kahoot quiz game. And in that game, one of the quiz categories that we covered was called "What, Where, and Who Is That?" And on the screen was a picture of either a place, an object, or a person. And in all my short time of being part of this youth ministry, I don't think I've ever heard you guys as loud as I have than when a picture of Peppa Pig appeared on the screen. Many of you forgot that this was a quiz and you're not supposed to say the answer out loud, but you all shouted Peppa Pig at the top of your lungs. Sound barriers were broken in that moment. Clearly, all of you knew who Peppa Pig was and were passionate about it. I think especially the sixth grade boys from what I remember. In one sense, you could say that you all knew Peppa Pig, but in another sense, none of you would ever say that you personally know Peppa Pig. At least I hope so. Likewise, I could tell you a lot about Wardell Stephen Curry. You know him. Golden State Warriors point guard, four-time NBA champion, two-time NBA MVP, leader in three-pointers. And yet, if I ever found out where he lived and tried to walk into his house, I'd get arrested, right? That'd be creepy. Because though I know a lot about Steph Curry, I don't personally know him. There's a difference between personally knowing someone and knowing stuff about someone. In the same way, the Bible makes clear that there is a difference between knowing stuff about God and yet actually personally knowing God. Christianity is not only a religion, it's also a relationship with our Creator. And the only way that we can have a relationship with our Creator is through Jesus Christ. I want to make that very clear. The only way that we can have a relationship with God, the Creator of heaven and earth, is through Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible says that apart from Christ, apart from Jesus, our relationship with God is actually a broken relationship. If you ever get into an argument with your sibling, friend, or parent, then you know the feeling of a broken relationship, right? It's painful. It feels as if there's this dividing wall between you and the other person. Broken relationships are not a good feeling. There's a separation and a brokenness in the relationship. And what the Bible makes clear is that the separation and brokenness of our relationship is also true in each of our relationships with God. As mentioned before, God is the creator of everything and everyone. God created you and I to live with a purpose, and that purpose was to live for Him, to live in right relationship with Him. And yet, here's the problem. We have not done that. The Bible says that we all have actually rejected God. God gave us the greatest purpose and motivation and meaning in life to live for Him. And yet, instead of saying, yes, I will live for God, we took His purposes, we took His commands, we took His offer of relationship, and we threw it in the ground. We threw it on the ground in rebellion. God laid out a way for us to live by our words, by our deeds, by the desires of our heart. We told God no. We're going to live for ourselves. How often do we view our sin merely as rule breaking rather than breaking the heart of God? You see, how often do we see Christianity just as a bunch of rules to keep and not see the relationship behind it? You see, if Christianity was purely a way of life, then sin is just rule breaking. That's every other religion, right? Every other religion is just a way of life. Keep these deeds. But because Christianity is not just a religion, but also a relationship, then we should view our sin as that which damages our relationship with God. What the Bible makes clear is that's all of us. All of us have damaged and broken our relationship with God. In Romans 3:23, all have sinned, which means turned away, missed the mark that God intended for us to live by, and we have fallen short of God's standard. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, it illustrates our lives like this, that you and I are like sheep, sheep who have gone away from our shepherd, God. All we like sheep have gone astray. All we have wandered from our relationship with Him. This is the reality of our lives. All of us here in this room tonight are sinners. And because of this, you and I stand guilty before a holy God. That's what the Bible makes very clear, that our standing before God is punishment and separation from Him. God eternally in heaven and us eternally in hell. This is the bad news of Christianity. This is the hard news of Christianity, that we are sinners running a hellbound race, hopeless in any pursuit of trying to personally know God. And yet, in light of this broken relationship that you and I have, what did God do? What did God do? Though you and I in our sin are broken in our relationship with God, God in His love for us sent us Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. God sent us Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the one who would piece back together our broken relationship with Him. And He did this by living the perfect life we could not live, bearing the wrath of God that we deserve, dying the death on the cross that you and I should have had, and rose again to resurrection life, defeating death, so that all those who repent, which means a change of mind, it means a change of direction, and believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life will be saved. That is a Savior worth loving, one who came and died for us so that we might be in right relationship with Him. And yet, having a relationship with God, let me be clear, is not just about emotions and feelings. You see, it is through the gospel where we are able to know God and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's be clear on this point. Though we have compared a relationship with Jesus Christ to a friend and friendship with your best friend, the reality is that a relationship with Jesus Christ is wholly unique from any other relationship on earth. The only way we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is by repenting, turning away from sin, turning away from the rebellion that we once had, and believing in Christ. That is good news. Having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is not just about feeling like you love Jesus, but because Jesus actually loved you. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. And this love is meant to not just transform our affections, but also our actions as well too. How many of us say that we love God, we love Jesus, we love God, and yet we don't live for Him? Now that the Bible actually says that that is a contradiction. And Jesus says in John chapter 14, He says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." In other words, actually loving Christ means living for Christ. You can't say that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ just because you love Him and have fuzzy feelings about Him. No, you actually need to live for Christ. There needs to be a change, a direction in your life. Is that true of you tonight? Have you yet transformed? Have you yet been converted and repented and turned to Christ? The only way we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is by repenting and believing in Christ. Repenting means turning away from sin in order to turn to Christ. And when we turn to Christ, we believe that His sacrificial death on the cross has brought us back into right relationship with God. Having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is not based on how we feel about Him. And yet what's clear is that those who do have a personal relationship with Christ will love their Savior and see Him as their greatest treasure. Those who are saved by Christ will also love Christ. And that leads us into our final point for the night, the final reality of knowing God, which is that knowing God is powerful. Knowing God is powerful because Jesus is our treasure. Knowing God is powerful because Jesus is our treasure. We said at the beginning of this teaching that the goal of this series is to answer this one question. Practically, what does it look like to live as a Christian? And so practically, what does it look like to know God? Now, let's put this topic under the microscope. Practically, what does it look like in my life to actually know God? Does knowing God actually make a difference in my life? And to answer this question, I want us to actually turn to another passage in the Bible. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. It should be a familiar book to all of us at this point. Your Bible should just flop open to Philippians because we've spent so much time in it. You as a junior high ministry on Sunday services as well too. Philippians chapter 1. This is Paul's letter to the Christians in Philippi. And as he's writing this letter, we know he's writing in house arrest. He was thrown in prison for sharing the gospel. He's a captive for Christ, uncertain about whether or not he would be killed for being a Christian. And yet in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, that's what I want us to look at. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul writes this. He says, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Read that one more time. "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In light of this verse, my question is this. What would cause a man to say something like this? Slow down and consider that for a moment. What in your guys' life would you be willing to spend your whole life living for? What in your whole life would you be willing to die for? What would cause a man to say something and so bold, as serious as that? "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." The answer to this question is found just two chapters later, Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Turn there if you have it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul writes this. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." You see, the reason why the Apostle Paul could write words so bold and so serious is because he knew Christ. It's because he knew the Savior that saved him. Practically speaking, this completely changes our perspective on life. Because as we often say at Lighthouse, this means that Jesus isn't just the right option, but the better option to live for. Christianity isn't just living for what's right and accurate and true. It's also living for what is better in this life. And what the Bible makes clear is that knowing Jesus is better than anything in this world. Knowing Jesus completely transforms the way that we view the rest of our lives. When we think about all the other treasures and temptations in this world, we remind ourselves, Jesus is better. Knowing Jesus is better, far better. And I say this on behalf of our U staff here, as we begin this new teaching series, that we love you guys so much. Now, this is, a testament, just looking at the small group leaders here, that we love you. There are people, young adults, people in this church who are willing to dedicate their Friday nights to serve you. We have dads and parents in this church who are willing to spend their Friday nights to serve you. And our hope for you is that you would not just leave these Friday nights knowing a little bit more about God. We do hope that. But ultimately, our hope is that you would leave knowing and loving God personally. That you would know the Savior who has saved you. Seeing him not just as the right option, but the better option. You see, knowing God is not only possible, it's not only personal, but it's powerful. It's clearly transformed the lives of many in this room when we see Christ as the ultimate treasure. That is our prayer for you as a junior high ministry, as we move forward in this teaching series, that you would know your Savior personally, that you would love him and want to have a personal relationship with him, not for the sake of rule keeping, not for the sake of looking like a good Christian, but because you want to know and love your Savior. That is our prayer for you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, just as we were seen in your word, that in knowing Jesus and in knowing God, there is eternal life. And yet eternal life is not just something that we grant because we say we love Jesus, but because Jesus loved us first, because he gave us himself, the sacrificial lamb, so that we might have eternal life by trusting in him. I pray that this would take root in our junior hires' hearts, that they would love their Savior, not just want to know more about him, but know him deeply and personally. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.